Thank you, Brian. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Aren't you thankful for our young people?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand for a moment, please. First off, I want to just put a little honor with one of our choir members here today that came in on crutches. I think that's awesome. That's a young person that was willing to come. She could have stayed home, got crutches, but she wanted to serve Jesus.
Amen.
And I thank God for young people like that, because that's what God is going to do. We've got several young people in our church. I thank God for every one of them. But when I see that, I see other people that will skip church for the slightest little thing. But when I see a young person come forward that's got crutches to serve Jesus, that inspires me. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And there's a bunch of them out there too.
Praise
Hallelujah. So Avery, thank you very much for serving Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm glad everybody else is here today also. And I wanted us to stand up. I'm going to read the John chapter 12, verses 20-21 this morning. And are we going to have it on the screen too? Probably. John 12, 20-21. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore for Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired of him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all bow our heads and come before our Lord. Father, we just commit this time to you right now. We ask that your word, Father, will go forth and touch hearts and challenge and encourage and heal hearts this morning. Because we're going to speak today, Lord, on the name above every name, the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak that powerful name of Jesus this morning by faith, knowing that you're here by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for the healing physically and mentally and emotionally that will take place today. In Jesus' mighty name. And we believe you're here, Lord. And we glorify you. And we praise you. And I speak this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Before you sit down, look at somebody and say, we would see Jesus.
We would see Jesus.
You can sit once you say it, though, unless you want to stay standing. I don't care if you stay standing, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, not to be critical or anything, but you know, on social media, you're seeing, because Easter season's coming up, and there's a lot of dozens and dozens of churches, marketing and advertising for services this coming Good Friday and Sunday. And I noticed about probably 98, maybe 99% of them were all promoting Easter egg hunts. And I thought, wouldn't that be something, instead of having Easter egg hunts, we would have people come to church and say, come and seek Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Easter eggs cannot heal anybody. They don't fit in anyway. But one church is advertising over 100,000. It's to attract people. I'm still believing that we're going to enter a time where we're going to see God moving in denominations, in churches that are looking for Jesus. I really believe that, because it's through him. This world is getting darker and darker, and this is a time that we should be looking for Jesus.
Amen?
Amen. And so we're going to keep doing that. I was thinking, you know, we could have probably done the same thing and, you know, probably bought 30,000 eggs or something and planted them over our 3.5-acre property out here and attracted a whole bunch of neighborhood kids and everything. And that's all great. But I still determined that as long as I'm the pastor here, I'm going to promote Jesus.
Amen.
And God's going to bring the people he wants here, in here, to hear the word, because I don't want to have to entertain people this week and then come up with something else next week just to get them in here. If they don't want to come, they're not going to come. So I'm not going to spend money on $30,000 worth of eggs. You know, I'll crack you up anyway. Or should I say, I'll egg you on? Just a yoke. Now I'll get serious here. Praise the Lord. So my message today is we would see Jesus. With Easter coming up soon here, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And it's so vitally important that it's a time when it's speaking about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And people are making preparation at that time. As I read from John chapter 1 here, I like what the Greek said, that we would see Jesus. And we need Jesus severely today. I was even thinking about our church here. How many people in here have physical ailments, emotional, different problems, financial maybe, job problems, all kinds of problems. We need Jesus. We would see Jesus. And we need to get that message out. There were many people during that time when Jesus was entering Jerusalem to come to the feast. And just like churches on every Sunday here, people coming to church and the group of those that come, sometimes they're spectators. Amen? They're hypocrites, skeptics, doubters, scoffers. But in the midst of that group on their way to see Jesus, there's a few select. There's always a few select people who came and who come only for one reason, and that's to worship God. So we can ask ourselves this morning, even today, why did we come today? Did we come to worship Jesus? Because basically, this is just another church of hundreds and hundreds of them. But when people come here, do we come to truly worship the Lord? Do we come here to worship Him? You hear us say that many times. Amy says it. Others say it. Myself. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Everything. Everything that we have. Everything that we do. It's all about Jesus. And always will be. He gets all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Because He's the only one that can take care of your needs and our needs and my needs. He's the only one. Even no matter what the psychologists say and the medical people say, Jesus is the final answer. Amen. He is it. And we need to remember that too. They didn't come to spectate those Greeks. They did not come to do that. They didn't come to criticize either. They didn't come to impress anybody with their new jewelry or their new clothing. They came to worship God. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verses 23, 24. If you got your Bibles there, you want to follow on our screen. King James Version. But the hour comes, and that hour is here, people. We're in that hour. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We're to worship God in spirit and truth. Now that means with the whole soul, mind, feelings, and emotions and desires. We give it all when we come to church to worship Jesus. Many people come in and they leave discouraged. But did we give it all to worship Him? The only one who has the ability to change our lives from the inside out. I'm not talking from the outside in. People come to church and they want to impress other people, and that's not coming to worship Jesus, is it? Jesus starts working on the inside out and changes us even when we don't realize it. As the song goes, He's working when we don't even see Him working. But when we truly come to the Lord on a Sunday morning and we're coming here to meet Him and to worship Him, it'll change our life. It'll change the church. It truly will. Verse 24, or excuse me, John 20, or chapter 4, 23 to 24. But the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Wow. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, many people are still worshiping adamant items, idols, things, people. They're worship, but God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. I can't imagine people going to worship a rock. Amen?
Amen.
Just think, standing before a stupid rock, or an idol, and many people do that. They're little plastic things. They worship all of that. They stand before them. They bow before them. They bend over for them. It's amazing. Human beings with an intellect does that type of thing. But there's only one God. There's only one, and he's the one that he is seeking worshipers to come and worship him. He loves us. Hallelujah. These Greeks came to worship. They came to worship, and they knew that if they were really going to worship, they needed to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need to see Jesus.
That's right.
I need to see Jesus. And I can see him in a lot of different things. I can see him working in your life, my life, and in this world. I want to see Jesus work more in this church. Amen?
Amen.
Churches need Jesus. We got to quit thinking about everything else when we come in here and focus on Jesus. I'm speaking on this name because this is the name we're going to be worshiping in the next couple of Sundays with Good Friday coming and Easter coming. We want to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But somehow Jesus, he's gotten covered up. He's gotten covered up with our dogmas, our creeds that we have forgotten, or at least misplaced Jesus of the Bible. We don't even hardly know he's here because we're so focused on everything else that comes up and around. And that's why I am totally against a lot of things that are happening in the church world today, because it's focusing away from Jesus. It's focused on everything else to get people in, to raise money, but it's not focusing on Jesus, and Jesus is the answer to the world.
Yes.
If the churches would understand that and we would all come together in unity, realizing that when a Sunday morning comes and all the churches are gathering, that we are going to worship Jesus. Amen? We're not going to worship man. We're going to worship Jesus. We're not going to worship the music. We're going to worship Jesus. We're not going to worship everything in the building or the building itself or the denomination. We're coming to worship Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're worshiping Jesus, the thing that your heart's crying out, you will begin to see God moving in a supernatural way. Because that's the way when I read the Word of God, I see everywhere Jesus was, things happened. They even hated him. The religious people did. They wanted their traditions and everything else, but they did not want Jesus. Do you ever notice today that people give testimonies? A lot of people give testimonies. They'll say, God did this, God did that, God did this, he protected me here, God saved me here, God did this and God. Well, whose God are they talking about? Boy, when I give my testimony, I gave my testimony one time in front of Dale Carnegie course. And it got dead quiet in there like it is here today. But I spoke the name of Jesus. I won a pen because I had a good speech. But I talked about the name of Jesus, that Jesus saved me. And that's when God begins to move. I had people in the 42 people that were in that crowd that day, three or four of them come out and said, are you a preacher? No, I'm a salesman. But I love Jesus. And I had two people that were backslidden in their faith. They could not believe that I said Jesus in front of everybody. That's what they said. I can't believe you said Jesus in front of everybody. I said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He saved me from a hell. He took away my sins. He cleansed me. I got something to tell you. So I had fun that night. Glory to God. But the world's waiting for Jesus, even though they fight against it. But when they come have people that are standing for what they believe, they'll listen. They may not like it sometime, but they'll listen. And we need to be aware of that. But there is today, as there was in the days of the scripture, a cry from the human heart. We would see Jesus. We would see. Go down to the Mercy Hospital over here. Senior citizen places. Schools. Troubled children. Troubled young people, go and find out how they'd like to see Jesus. Amen? And if you know Jesus and you're born again, you've got the answer living within you. His name is Jesus. Now, I'm going to say Jesus a lot today because I know the devil hates it. He trembles at that name because there's so much power in it when it's spoken by faith. And I believe in Jesus. And I believe every demon in hell is probably plastered on the walls right now, trying to rush away because they hear the name of Jesus. Scripture teaches that. I'm not making it up. The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. They know him better than a lot of Christian people. But we need to come to know Jesus. And I'm going to preach Jesus Day. And I hope I say it enough so that when you're sitting down, that's all you can think of. You're eating your spaghetti. Jesus. Jesus. I'm noodlesome. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. I hope when you're driving home, that's all that comes. I hope it gets to the point where the Holy Spirit just touching your heart and letting that permeate in you to the name of Jesus and begin to watch what Jesus will do in your life. He might even send someone or you to someone to preach the word of God. He may even use you in a miracle. He may even do a miracle in you. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you got to get excited about Jesus. I am. I make no apologies whatsoever about preaching about Jesus today. Amen?
Amen.
So, we must never forget that the head of the church, this is the church, the body of Christ, not the building, the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. He's the one we look to. Amen? It says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And you can find several other verses backing that up too. It's not religion or tradition or doctrines that save the lost or heal the sick and set the captives free. No, it's the Savior. His name is Jesus, the person Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. Come on, people, we got to have more shouting here. Don't just do it for me, but man, you got to get that in your spirit. If that's all excitement we have, then I see why we're not seeing the power of God.
Amen. Praise God.
We need Jesus. The world's dying. Churches are dying. Did you know that in America alone, 6,000 churches a day, 6 to 10,000 churches a day are closing their doors? And what do they put in them? Mosque and places like that. But churches are closing. That's about 200 churches every single day that are closing their doors. We need to preach Jesus. John 1:33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he, speaking of Jesus, which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I hear people wanting they want a certain pastor, a certain person to pray for them to get the Holy Ghost. And that's right. We lay hands and help people and pray through. But the baptizer is Jesus. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking tongues, it was Jesus that baptized me, not the preacher. Even though they had their hand on me, praying for me, Jesus came along and baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Speaking with tongues. It was Jesus. Jesus alone. Look at somebody say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
Hallelujah. See, I believe it is a shame that so many in the body of Christ have lost sight of Jesus today. They really have. The excitement's gone, the enthusiasm's gone, the expectation, it's all gone. Jesus needs to be put back in churches. He really does. He's the exciting part. He's the one that gets me excited when I think about it, how he can use me to touch another life. Praise the Lord. But even worse than that is the fact that many don't even realize they've lost the vision. Are you excited about Jesus?
Amen.
If you're watching by Facebook, are you excited about Jesus? Or is it just a religious name that we hear and we just say it to say it? But when I say it, I believe that the things are moving in the spirit realm when I speak the name of Jesus. A lot of our problems can be handled when we begin to speak the name of Jesus into them and trust it. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, I don't agree with that. Okay, that's fine. Don't agree with that. I agree with me. even worse yet, is that many have allowed other things to displace the vision, and now they would rather have religion than Jesus. And that's what we're seeing today. They would rather have traditions than Jesus. They would rather have blessings than Jesus. It's amazing how many people want prosperity, but they don't want Jesus. They want healing, but they don't want Jesus. They want to get healed, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. They want power, but they don't want Jesus. They want joy and peace, but they don't want Jesus. They want entertainment, but they don't want Jesus. I wonder how many churches would start emptying out if the preacher stopped all entertainment and went right to Jesus. There might be a revival. Because maybe the dead would stop rising. And maybe the sick would be healed just sitting in your chairs and pews around the nation. Because they're preaching Jesus. We just don't, you know, we haven't grasped the name of Jesus and what's involved in that name. We will see a great revival in the body of Christ when the heart of the church is, we would see Jesus. When you come to church, you want to see him. John 12:32, Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Did you hear that? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not Easter eggs.
That's right.
Not if we lift up the Easter eggs. Not if we lift up a person. Not if we lift up an entertainer. Not if we lift up showmanship. Anything that brings entertainment. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh. And we've got to start talking more about Jesus.
Yes.
To our young people. They need to hear the name of Jesus. And when you're out in public, you need to speak the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if somebody doesn't like it, it's their problem, not yours.
Yep.
I've done it many times. I speak the name of Jesus. It doesn't hurt to get ridiculed or rejected or made fun of. Doesn't hurt one bit. I like it because it proves that Jesus is real. Because
yes.
I could have said my name and they would have loved it. You can say my name all day, Lyndon. See, none of you got mad. Try that out in the world and say the name of Jesus once. Just try it. There's a reason the devil hates that name. There's a reason for it. Jesus didn't say lift up your church or your denomination. There's people that say, I'm Assembly of God. So what? Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever denomination, they will defeat that to the death. But you speak the name of Jesus and they could care less. When people come to talk to me about their denomination, I change it to Jesus. The Assembly of God cannot heal you. It cannot fill you with the Holy Spirit. It cannot deliver you. It cannot take away your fear, your anxiety. It can't do any of that or any other denomination. Only Jesus. But the devil has lied to so many people. So many Christians have gotten involved in so many things within the church, and Jesus has become a sideline. He didn't say, if I lift up your religion or your traditions or your philosophies. He said, if I be lifted up. If I be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up. We've got to lift up the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We should want to lift up the name of Jesus. I look forward to every opportunity when I can lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every opportunity. It's our way of telling the Lord we are not ashamed of him. And that's the sad part. People are afraid to say his name because they will be ridiculed. They will be made fun of. They will be rejected. They will be separated from. But so what?
Right.
As I said before, I've emptied out coffee break rooms. I'm the only guy in there. I didn't cry. I didn't weep. I said, praise God, touch their hearts with the Holy Spirit. Because the name of Jesus is preached. Talk about me, Jesus says. Witness about me, preach about me, and teach about me. Live me in life in your testimony. When you give a testimony, talk about what Jesus did, not what God did, even though I understand in many cases, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus. When I preach, I want to preach in Jesus' name. When the singers are up here and the band is up here, we do it in the name of Jesus. Yes. Fall for his glory, amen?
Yes.
Let not me be the main attention, but let Jesus be the main attention.
Yes.
Attraction, if you want to use that word. Not the programs, not the singers, not the preacher, not the music, not the activities, or the size of the building. It's about Jesus. The closer we get to his coming, the more we should be speaking his name.
Amen.
It's the only name that's going to defeat the demons of hell that are populating this earth right now. You can see it on TV, on the internet, in faith, in homes, everywhere, businesses. You can see demonic spirits activated and pushing their filth throughout this world, and we need to speak Jesus.
Yes.
And not be ashamed of it. Jesus wants to be the reason to draw all men in. He wants to be the reason for it. I will draw all men to me. And then churches won't die. Churches won't die. But they'll come alive with resurrection power.
Yes.
Would you like to see that?
Yes.
Then we got to come alive in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God.
We got to come alive. We can't be afraid to shout.
That's right.
Scripture tells me, shout on to the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Shout on to him. I am not ashamed to do that. And you say, well, man, preacher, I don't like it. I don't like shouting preachers. That's your problem, not mine. It really is. I'm going to shout about Jesus if I feel like it and I need to. We need resurrection power. We need churches that won't empty out, but they'll be filled up with hungry. That's what I want to see. Hungry, thirsty people for the things of God. They come in and they thirst and they come up to the front. Sometimes I like to see us come in here, the Holy Spirit moving so much, that Jesus' presence is so obvious that people will come to the altar without any invitation.
Yeah.
They'll just come up when they hear the name of Jesus sung. And they'll want to come forward. They'll want to worship him. Am I being too hard on you today?
No.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Who's him?
Jesus.
And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
You better, I tell you what, people, I want to encourage you. You better start speaking the name of Jesus. If you want to hold back and you don't want to do it because you, for whatever reason, you're going to do it one day.
One day.
Every knee, every tongue is going to confess.
Yeah.
Everyone, even the rebellious, unsaved people that God wants to reach, they will bow. The ones who have dramatically said, we will not bow and we will not speak his name, they will.
They will.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it. See, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. We demand to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to see Jesus at Crossfire Assembly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This family here, those watching by Facebook that tune in from all over the place, whether you believe it or not, they do. I want them to see Jesus when they tune in to Crossfire.
Yes.
But I want them to see Jesus right where they're at in their homes.
Yeah.
I want Jesus. We need Jesus in the home. We need Jesus in the Ford.
Yes.
In the Chevy.
Yes.
I could go through all the models, but we need Jesus in all of them. We need to see Jesus. We won't settle for anything less than a personal contact with Jesus. I want Jesus. Hungry souls are crying out. Don't just tell me about Jesus. Don't, for one thing, don't show me pictures of Jesus. They're not real. They become idols to people. They hold on to them. They hang them on their walls and they pray to them. Those are idols. Dump them, get rid of them. You don't need them. Just take me to Jesus. Just take me to Jesus. It comes through the Word. Who is Jesus?
The Word.
The Word. Hallelujah. Preacher, take me to Jesus. Evangelist, take me to Jesus. Missionary, take me to Jesus. Christian, take me to Jesus. We need more of our brothers and sisters in Christ that will begin to witness and live the life in this world, in the home. We need to do it boldly, like a bold lion. We need Jesus in this world dramatically, more than any time. He's getting ready to come back, and the devil's trying to take territory, but he's not going to have it where Jesus is preached.
Right.
He's not going to have it. Don't let the devil have your home. Begin to preach Jesus.
Yes.
Don't just walk around and give a little pansy waist prayer and say, oh, God, help me. Don't do that. Just say, in the name of Jesus, demon, you will not have my children. In the name of Jesus, demons, you will not have my home. In the name of Jesus, demons, you will not have my marriage. In the name of Jesus, demons, you will not take my health. And we stand firm on that and we don't waver. We stand strong, boldly, and take authority. God's got an army, and he's raising them up. He's getting ready. I want to be part of that army. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. I want to be part of that army. See, if we can't take a soul who is lost to Jesus, we failed our mission. If we can't do that, we failed what God wants us to do. When I see a lost person and there's any door opening, I want to take it and lead them to Jesus. It's exciting. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached.
Jesus.
Amen. Unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip was excited. He was excited. He preached Christ. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with the devil, and many taken with palsies, and there were lame healed, and there was great joy in that city because he preached Jesus.
Amen.
That's what they were experiencing in the new church right there, because Philip was preaching Jesus. Demons were coming out of people. They were healed. The lame were healed.
Hallelujah.
People were delivered, and there was great joy. Wouldn't there be great joy if there was not one sick person at Crossfire?
Yes.
You say, I want to get into that church.
That's right.
Everybody's healed in there. Well, that's my prayer, because I'm going to keep preaching Jesus. Because Philip did, and I look at what happened in his church. Everybody was healed because he preached Christ. And if we can't take the bound, the oppressed, the depressed, the demon-possessed, the mental, emotional, physical sick, the diseased to Jesus, then again, we failed in our mission. We failed in it. We failed in our mission to get people to Jesus if all we are concerned about is politics and prosperity. And other things. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament and he preached Jesus continually and he never stopped. And look what God did in that man's life and how he used that man. He went through more trials and suffering to protect him from pride, I believe. because God was using him in such a supernatural way, because he preached Jesus.
Yes.
We got away from that. We got all skinny jean, Johnny Bravo hairdos now, and all they want to do is talk about, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, instead of talk about Jesus when people are dying and going to hell, and people are suffering like you would not believe in this hour, and we need to be preaching Jesus.
Yes.
And not apologize for it.
Right.
Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Another confirmation of Paul's desire to preach Christ and him crucified. Paul was a highly educated man, and he was deeply spiritual, but with all his wisdom and knowledge and spiritual experience, listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. When you preach Jesus, you're preaching power.
Yes.
When you believe it.
Right.
Not as a candy cane machine. He determined that he would hold himself to preaching the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and him coming to rule and reign in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul preached it all. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. The power there it's speaking of is dunamis, meaning effective ability to accomplish an intended purpose. It was actually working. The power of God was working in every service that Paul preached. He saw miracle after miracle. And he was rejected. He was made fun of. He was attacked, shipwrecked, all kinds of stuff. You read about it. But he still preach Jesus. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In the Greek, it's the word zozo. Sozo. This is salvation, is all inclusive. It is the healing for the body, deliverance to the bound, joy, peace, needs met, and abundant life. Zozo. It goes on to say, to save. When you speak the name of Jesus, means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, from the penalty of power of sin, from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore, health, include spiritual, physical, emotional restoration. That's what the name of Jesus does, the power of Jesus. How come we avoid that so much? We don't need the gospel just to get saved, people. We need the gospel to live by every day. We need the power of the gospel. We need to preach this. This is the word. This is Jesus. We need to preach it because we need to live by. How many are failing today? Because we quit preaching the gospel. We're going to something else. Moving away from it. People are looking for entertainment today. We Bible preaching churches like that, like this, are competing with the entertainers.
Yeah, yeah.
And what appeals to the flesh? Entertainment. But I tell you what, they haven't experienced Jesus. You got to experience Jesus. The gospel of Christ is the life Jesus lived, the death Jesus died, and his victory over Satan's kingdom, and Jesus' resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the throne of God. Then he's coming back to rule and reign. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit in everyone who believes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No place in the Bible do we find the life of Christ more fully revealed than in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We must present to the world and to the church the Jesus of the Bible, not our opinions. Amen. It's the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of mercy and compassion who cast out devils, heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, and raises the dead, works miracles and signs and wonders. in many of our churches today, we are told there are no such things as demons or devils. And we're told that miracles and signs and wonders were just for the early church. And they are no longer needed today. And they are not for us. And they are being preached from evangelical churches. Not all of them. But they're being preached. I cannot believe it. But the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still the same Jesus that walked the earth. He's here this morning. He's here this morning. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He's the same one. He's in here today. If you're sitting in here with any kind of issue going on in your life, call upon the name of Jesus. Don't worry about anything else. Just say the name of Jesus until you receive.
Yes.
Don't use him as a magic tool. He's not that. But he's power in his name when it's spoken in faith. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For the purpose the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is the only one who has the power to destroy sin in our lives. He's the only one. No one else can. We can't do it. Only Jesus. If you're having a struggle, you need to be calling upon the name of Jesus. If you're in the middle and the devil is tempting you so greatly, you need to replace that temptation with the name of Jesus. Close your eyes if you can, not while you're driving. And speak the name of Jesus. Get victory over it. Because Jesus broke the power of sin over every person who has received him. He has delivered us from it. And it cannot control us. And we need to speak his name in faith. Jesus said in Mark 16:17, the first sign that would follow, and these signs shall follow them that believe in whose name?
Jesus.
Jesus' name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And people, don't try to tell me. Don't try to tell me that tongues passed away. Don't try to tell me that. Jesus said his believers would speak with new tongues. He's the same Jesus.
Amen.
Mark 16:18. They, who's they? The believers, that's us, shall take up serpents. It's that not necessarily meaning snakes either, but meaning demons of sickness and disease and oppression. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We need to speak the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You need to speak the name of Jesus over your medications.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
There's poison in them.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Whether you believe it or not, what do they tell you when they advertise it? If you take this, you might die. You might get this. You might have this. Or you might do this to you. And that's worse than the disease. Don't tell me we're not drinking poison. Eating poison. Putting it in us. But when we do, we can speak the name of Jesus over everything that we're taking. Many of the foods today we're taking. I just looked at a thing with General Mills oatmeal. Is it? No, that's Quaker, isn't it, or somebody? Anyway, they showed the UK one, and they showed the USA one. The USA one had that much stuff in it. The UK had that much stuff in it. We're eating poisons, people. And we need to speak Jesus every time you sit down to a meal, wherever that's at. You need to speak the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus over your meals.
Man.
You need to do it. You say, man, you sound like a nutcase. I am. I'm nuts for Jesus. It's reality, people, because we're seeing it in our society today. People are sick all over. People are dying all over. I'm not speaking it out of being an idiot. It's reality of life. We're living in a time where we need to put our trust in Jesus. And this is the Jesus of the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same one that healed all the masses. Everyone who came to Jesus, did he heal them?
Yes.
All those except the ones who didn't come. That's the only ones he couldn't heal. The ones who said, he's just a carpenter's son. He's a joke. But I tell you one, the ones that came to Jesus got healed. We need to come to Jesus. When the sinner sees him dying on the cross for his sin or her sin, and he or she believes that, accepts Jesus as their sin substitute, and repents, they will be saved. They will be. God will keep his word. He will save us. We don't go by our feelings. We do it by accepting what he said. Repent and receive him as Christ. Asking for forgiveness. He's faithful and just. He does it. He comes in. He literally, the Holy Spirit will come into us. Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. It's not by feelings. It's by what he said. And when the sick and the afflicted see him at the whipping post, taking these stripes for their healing and their deliverance, and they're recognized that Jesus suffered in their place, and that Jesus took their sicknesses and diseases, and Jesus carried their sorrows, and they accept that by faith, they'll be healed.
Yes. Amen. Praise God.
They'll be healed. There's a reason much healing isn't going on today. Oh, there's different reasons in Scripture. That's a whole other sermon. But all in all, Jesus is the healer. He still is. When the believer sees Jesus raised from the dead, having put their sins away and coming to live in them through the power of the Holy Ghost, then they will enter in the blessings and the benefits of the Christian life and were purchased for them through the atoning substitutionary work of Jesus. Everything that Jesus did on the cross was for us, and that's why he said on the cross, it's finished. Everything that needs to be done for you and I to have an abundant life here. I didn't say a perfect life, stress-free, trouble-free. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But Jesus, even in the middle of our trials and tribulations, he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen. That's right.
He's with us all the way. He knows we're going to have troubles and trials. But he said, I'll promise, I've overcome the world. You'll be okay.
Yes.
Take joy.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe in church doctrine based and standing on the Word of God. I believe in divine healing. I believe in God meeting all of our needs. I believe that. I believe in the church as a divine institution ordained by God. Even though multitudes are leaving churches today or going to where they're entertained, I believe God ordained this fellowship here today without a doubt. But my primary mission and my commission is to preach Jesus and to lift up the name of Jesus. That's my mission. Should be yours too. If you take Jesus out of the Bible, there's no good news. And they're doing that. Translations, some of them already taken his name out in different spots. But if we take Jesus out of our preaching, there's no good news. I wouldn't have nothing to say. I'd say, everybody, go get a life. Do whatever you want. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about you. Yeah, you are a reject. Get out of here. But see, I got Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I love them so much, I'll come and die on a cross for them.
Yes.
I lift up the name of Jesus. Without Jesus in our singing, our preaching, our teaching, there's no gospel. There's none. The world is dying to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Literally dying. Let me take it a step farther. Many in the church today are hungering and thirsting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Why is there such a lack of power in many of our churches today? Why is there so much sickness in many of our churches? Why is there so much oppression and depression in many of our churches today? And there is. Why is there such a lack of manifest presence and power of God in the individual's life? I believe it's because we have lost our vision of Jesus. There's that powerful name. If we could just get it into our spirit and begin to worship him in spirit and in truth and speak his name in faith and in joy and in love, we will begin. You won't be able to hardly drive down your car down the interstate without praising and worshiping him when you get a revelation of who this man, Jesus Christ, the God is, the God-man, the God of the universe, the Lord and Savior, the creator of the world. He experienced everything we experienced, so he knows how to deal with everything. We can go to him with anything, and he knows what it is. That's why he came to earth and dwelt among us. We've lost that vision. We don't see Jesus as we should. We really don't. We see him through a fog mist, a veil that religion has spread over our eyes. Like Paul, many of God's people today have scales on their eyes and they cannot see Jesus. We cry out, but we don't see Jesus. Jesus has been watered down to be more like us instead of us being more like him. That's why we dress the way we dress sometimes. That's why we speak the way we speak sometimes. That's why we act sometimes. Because Jesus is like me. And that's true. He's been watered down to come down to here so we can feel comfortable any way we are, not realize that God wants to raise us up to where he is. If I be lifted up. But man's bringing him down, even in the evangelical churches. That's why you do see the skinny jeans and the Johnny Bravo and the holy pants. Because Jesus doesn't care. I think he does. He sees what the devil's doing. He's bringing the devil through the church is bringing Jesus down here. And he's so high. He's so high. And Jesus says, you come up to my level and you're going to walk in power.
Yes.
And when the devil attacks you with sickness, disease, your faith will mount up and you will be able to fight it through. And when the next trial comes, as I'm using to get you to be more like me, you'll be able to keep your faith and walk through that trial. That's the name of Jesus. I don't want to serve a Jesus that looks like me. I don't want to. It's disgusting. Yes, I'm pointing at me too. I talked to a guy who goes to a big mega church the other day too, and he's using profanity while he's talking to me. And I'm standing there thinking, huh? That's because it comes from the pulpits. We watered our Jesus all the way down. And you need, if you have illness in your body, you need a healing. If you got a struggle in sin, you need deliverance. If you have mental, emotional problems, you need Jesus because he is the great physician.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible for him. He knows how to go into the emotion, into the mind, and he knows how to bring it to normal. He knows how to do it. That's why I'm not afraid to tell people, come to the altar. Come to the altar and meet Jesus. Not me, Jesus. We need to do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we need to hear the Bible preached again and set the way Jesus is, who he truly is. It should always be about Jesus applied to our lives. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, speaking of Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection power.
Yes.
He's it. Jesus does more than give life. Jesus is life. He is life.
Amen.
And therefore, death has no ultimate power over him because he is life itself. Think about that. And I want to bring him to my level. Jesus, bear with me. I'm going to go through these quickly. I could keep going for the whole rest of the day, but I'll only stop it in two little paragraphs, okay? Is that okay with you? Okay.
Oh, I don't care.
Hmm? Who said I don't care? I'm with you. Jesus is the I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the helper. Jesus, the deliverer. Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the great intercessor. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the everlasting door. He is wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Yeah. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Day Star from on high, the Bread of Life, the Living Water. He is a Sanctifier, Justifier. He's my shelter in the time of storm. He's my shield and my buckler.
Yes.
He's my high tower, my fortress. He's my rock and my anchor, the cornerstone. He's my lion and he's my lamb, my salvation, my hope. Jesus is my joy, my peace, my comfort, my strength, my light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'll stop there because I can keep going. Everything in this world is in the name of Jesus. Everything. Psalms 24, 8, 10. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. I get excited about Jesus. If anybody here gets excited, you go ahead and hoot and holler. Hallelujah! Glory! Glory to God! We're not afraid to do it at the ball games. If Johnny Horton gets a home run, whoever that is, hoot and holler for old Johnny. But I tell you what, I'm hooting and hollering for Jesus. Call me a Jesus freak all you want. I could care less. I'm for Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, my Jesus has gotten me. Johnny Horton's gone. One songwriter put it like this. He's my everlasting. He's my all. He's my everything, both great and small. His name is Jesus. We have the answer to every problem in the world and or in the church, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Can you hear it? Amen. Can you hear it? Can you believe it?
Yes.
Can you live it?
Yes.
Can you speak it?
Yes.
Can you feel it?
Yes.
He's everything. The human heart is crying out, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Who's going to take the blind sinner by the hand and lead him to the Jesus Savior? Who's going to do that? Who's going to take the sick, the suffering, the bound, the oppressed, to lead them to Jesus, the healer, the deliverer, and the miracle worker? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? We are the body of Christ. We're called to do that because we got a name above every name that when we speak it to people, they'll listen when we believe it. Many of us don't believe it. We're scared to say it, or we don't believe it when we say it. We're hoping Jesus works, but, oh, I'll try Jesus. Oh, Jesus didn't work. That's your problem. Jesus is not like a car where you try him out. He is God. You trust him. You stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. It's those who have seen Jesus, those who live with the revelation of Jesus before their faces, rather than make excuses for the lack of whatever. I'm going to preach Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't see somebody healed, that's not your responsibility. It's Jesus.
Yes.
You don't know what's going on in that person's life or what's stopping it. But I can tell you with a bold face right here, Jesus is the healer.
Yes. Yes.
So in conclusion, Jesus asked the question of his disciples, Matthew 16, 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I believe Jesus at that point was testing their faith to see if they really believed in him. And the disciples began to tell Jesus what they've heard others say about Jesus. But Jesus would not and will not, even today, settle for secondhand information. He requires that we know him by personal invitation. I've heard a lot of things about Jesus from secondhand people that are disgusting. And I've heard false teachings about him from secondhand. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus yourself.
Yes.
He pressed his disciples. Who do you say that I am? We cannot build our lives on second-hand information. We've got to get into the Word. Many today have watered down the Jesus of the Bible, as I said earlier, to resemble sinful man so we can feel comfortable in our sins today in the church. Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Matthew 16, 16. And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God will reveal himself to us as we seek him, draw close to him. He will draw close to us. But if you're not feeling Jesus, seeing Jesus, you better get on your knees and start seeking him. Drawing close to him. Peter was blessed because God in his grace opened his eyes to revelation of who he truly was. And I'm going to quickly read this because I really need to, and then I'm done. In the book of Numbers 21, verses 4 and 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. They were discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God. They start speaking against him and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and are so loath this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. There's people speaking against Jesus today, even in the church, and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looked upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of the brass, he lived. Hallelujah. God's compassion and mercy was back there. He cared about the people, but they had to come to repentance because they have fallen into deep sin. Sin will destroy us. The wages of sin is death. Jesus brought another way to bring him back, but he did it in a way to point him to the cross. If they looked up at that serpent, they were healed. We need to look up to the cross and be healed. To look up to Jesus. That was just a type of the shadow of our mighty Savior, Jesus saving us and healing us and destroying the works of the devil. When we lift up our eyes and get a revelation of Jesus, we can be healed, we can be delivered, and we can receive everything Jesus accomplished through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and he's coming back. Oh, that we would see Jesus. That we would see Jesus, that we must see Jesus. And people, we will see Jesus. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With every eye closed and head bowed just a moment, I want to ask, is there anybody in here that's never given their life to Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through him. Jesus said, I am the way. He is the door to salvation. Not a church, not a religion, not a denomination, not an action, not going to church, speaking, reading your Bibles, praying, giving, taking communion, giving tithes. Nothing gets you to heaven but Jesus. And if you're in here this morning and say, Pastor, I want to know, should I die, that I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus, just raise up your hand. I want to give you that opportunity. Is there anybody to walk in here this morning? If you died, you know you would not go to heaven. Or you don't even know for sure. If you don't know for sure, you're in danger zone. You're in a big danger zone. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is abundant life. But Jesus said that we need to repent of our sins and come to him and make him our Lord and our Savior. And he will come and live within us and sup within us and be your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody say, Pastor, I want to do that today? Anybody? I want to just real quickly, anybody who wants to, I'm not going to say everybody needs to come up front today. But I want people to come up here and say, I need to see Jesus in my life. Just start coming. Just start coming. I just need to see Jesus in my situation. I need to see him. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't care what people think. If I did, I wouldn't be a preacher. Hallelujah. Jesus is here, and I believe he's going to start working through certain people and certain ministries in this last hour of time. I believe he's going to be coming into homes, into people's lives that are seeking him and say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. I need to know more of you, Jesus. I believe we're going to see a revival of people that are going to be preaching Jesus and living Jesus and coming together and being glorifying him and lifting his name up as a congregations. I don't look at the size of our church in that sense at all. God can use one or two people. It's all he needs. Somebody gets on fire for Jesus. Heavenly Father, just begin to praise him. Start saying his name. Praise his name. Lift his name up in your hearts right now. Say, lift up your situation and say, Jesus, here it is. Here's my health. Jesus, here's my health. Here's my family. Here's my life. Here's my hurt. Here's my rejection, Jesus. I give it to you, for you can take care of all of it. You're the God of everything, of all. There's nothing, Jesus, that you cannot accomplish in our lives when we come to you reveal yourself in us and we put our trust in you. Lord, you see my brothers and sisters that have come forth this morning. And we're in unity, Father. We're asking that we would see Jesus, that we would see you begin to manifest in a way, Lord, we've never seen before in our church. Lord, you will manifest yourself through people even sitting in the chairs. They don't have to come up here, and I understand that, Lord. But Father, when we come forward, we're saying together, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus in our life. We want to see Jesus in our school. We want to see Jesus in our business. We want to see Jesus in our neighborhood. We want to see Jesus in our community. We want to see Jesus in our churches. We want to see Jesus everywhere, Lord. We want to see Jesus in our car when we're driving, when we get angry. We want Jesus there through the Holy Spirit to help us to settle down. We want Jesus, Lord. We want Jesus when we're feeling hurt. We want Jesus, Lord, when we want you, Jesus, at all times. We want Jesus when we're full of joy. We want Jesus when we're full of joy and excitement and contentment. We want Jesus. And we want Jesus when there's dark clouds hovering over us. We want Jesus when there's threats in this world. We want Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. And we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over every home that's represented by Facebook and over that's in this room today. Father, I speak the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. There's power, wonder-working power in that name, the name of Jesus. Lord, help us begin to see the manifestation of your power, Lord. Let us not just come and just raise our hands lily-nilly, but raise them up and saying, you are the God of my life, and I will see you move supernaturally, and we worship you and you alone. You are the only deliverer. You're the only helper. You're the only source, Jesus. It's all about you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pray that, Father, right now. And we surrender ourselves to you totally, Lord. And from this point on, Lord, Holy Spirit, move upon my brothers and sisters watching by Facebook and in here today. Help us to recall this message in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We need that name. It's all about you. You died on the cross. You gave your life for us to take us to be with you. That name will be in heaven through all eternity. We are going to hear that name, the name of Jesus, because there's salvation in that name. There's love and joy and peace and happiness and total contentment in that mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, begin to do a work in the hearts and lives of us that are here today. Lord, in the homes that are represented here, the needs, Lord, let the name of Jesus be manifest in our lives. Because you, Lord, you gave Jesus a name. It was a name given to him by you. The name of Jesus. There's power. Can we sing that, Amy? There's power, power, wonder-working power. Do you know that one?
I don't know the music.
You don't even remember it. Okay. There's power in it anyway. Hallelujah. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. And I speak that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. Holy Spirit, begin to move through the people up here right now. Lord, begin to move in them. Not by their feelings, but by your word. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you're here where two or three are here. You're here in the name of Jesus. Bind us together. Bind us together in love, Lord. We are one. We are one. We are the body of Christ. We are one in you and you in us. We are one. So we walk in the name of Jesus. We talk in the name of Jesus. We live in the name of Jesus. We think in the name of Jesus. We activate in the name of Jesus. We go in the name of Jesus. We come and we came in the name of Jesus. And we worship that mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to lift up your name. For in the days ahead, Lord, you are going to call a mighty army that know that name. Prepare our hearts, Father. Let us begin to speak it, to live it, not be ashamed of it, but boldly stand out. And I rebuke any demonic spirit of fear that would try to come against any of us. Like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move through our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let your healing flow through here right now, Father. Let your deliverance flow. Let your sense of presence move in this room right now, Father. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I would ask that you would touch every home, every person, meet their needs. Lord, let them see your mighty hand at work. Those that are hurting, those that are feeling rejected, those that are lonely today, missing loved ones, whatever the case is, Lord, let them call upon that name, for you're here today and you're with them. We praise you, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Look at somebody on the way out as you fellowship and say, there's power in the name of Jesus. One more thing, I apologize. Lee, I apologize. Lee wanted to give a testimony here. We got, what, does this thing work here? Hello, it's me? Yeah, it does.
Well, just so you know, a lot of, some of you know that I come from a Jewish family. And so I was saved 31 years ago. In 31 years, I've been praying for my family, and my sister was saved shortly after I was. A lot of you also know that my mother has been in the hospital sick and basically at the end of her life right now. And on Wednesday night, a friend of mine and I went over to Methodist Hospital in St. Louis Park. And I've been praying for this every day for 31 years. And he ministered to my mother. And on Wednesday night, my mother accepted the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just say this while you're leaving. You can go if you like. But you know something? People always say, I heard a guy the other day, show me proof that God's alive. I got so many people I could prove. Look how he changes lives. Where does that come from? I'm 21 years old. God changed me.
Yes.
He came into my life. He came into my car. He changed me.
Yes.
God isn't alive. What did that? It wasn't because I'm a good guy. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Everybody in here has got a testimony. Praise the Lord. Love you all. Glad you got to see me again. We'll pray, and then we'll pray some more, and then we'll pray some more. And then when we're done, we'll pray some more. Hallelujah. I'm excited about Jesus. I don't care what you think of me, man.
I speak the name of Jesus over you.